We all have coworkers that we work side by side with every day, but how well do we know the people that we're around all the time, the person behind the job? Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Bob Underwood, and welcome to the Compass Podcast. Two of the people that I work with every day are our Chief Financial Officer, John Mayer, and our Chief Executive Officer, Jason Rounds. And though I've gotten to know them pretty well, we thought it would be enriching to set aside a little bit of time so that you could get to know each of them a little bit better by way of their life stories. Jason, John, welcome to the Compass Podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Underwood.
Thanks, Dr. Bob.
It's good to have you guys on. So we thought this would be an interesting way to have some discussion. And of course, I know a lot of this stuff about you guys already, but I thought others might be interested too. So let's start with the basics. Jason, where were you born and where were you raised?
Well, I apologize to all of the people who've heard my elevator speech probably more than once at this point, but I was born in Roswell, New Mexico. My father settled there during high school and after World War II settled there permanently in the cotton industry. And my mom, after she graduated from college, was up for adventure and was teaching school in underserved areas and had been recruited out to West Texas and Eastern New Mexico. But while in Roswell, that's where my parents met.
Wow. So hometown boy almost coming back, or at least home state anyway. And John, how about you? A little bit different, kind of northeastern area from what I know.
That's correct. I'm a Western New Yorker, Dr. Underwood. I was born and raised in Western New York in the town of Tonawanda, which is a suburb that's a little bit east of downtown Buffalo, New York, between Rochester and Buffalo. And grew up in a generally blue-collar and farming family. My father was a police officer, and he was a hauler and erector, drove and set up heavy equipment. He actually worked two careers. My mother was a registered nurse and served as a pediatric oncology nurse for about 35 years before she retired. So had a generally great upbringing in terms of experience. I worked a lot and was around dairy farms. My mother's side is a big farming family, and I got all of the wonders and joys of farming, like 3 a.m., 30 below zero milkings as a kid growing up. So I grew up in Western New York, remain a big Bills and Sabres and Yankees fan. And
yes, you are.
Yeah, and had a terrific and happy childhood there.
Any brothers or sisters?
I'm the oldest of four, so I have a younger brother who's in Albuquerque. He's at the UNMH Mind Institute. Sister's on the Front Range in Arvada, Colorado. And then I have another sister who stayed back east and still resides in Western New York and stays there to this day. So, yes, oldest four.
Yeah, wow. And Jason, how about you? Any brothers or sisters that you grew up with?
Sure. I have one older sister. And from that, I have an unusually vast knowledge of the Partridge Family musical catalog and an irrational fear of getting hit in the back of my head randomly. But no, we grew up together, moved around the country. She was a pediatric ICU nurse and finished out her nursing career as an organ procurement specialist, but married and in the Woodlands, Texas at this point and doing lots of volunteer healthcare work.
So both of you have a little bit of healthcare in your background, at least with your family members as well. So Jason, I know you have children of your own now. So why don't you tell us about your kids?
Sure. I have twin daughters. Becky and I were in Albuquerque. I was with UNM and she was with Loveless Health Systems. When they were born, that really was kind of a motivation of getting back closer to family at that time. But they are seniors in college. I have Kate, who is at the University of Northern Colorado. She is a musical theater major and loving that opportunity. She had a chance to actually be with us in Farmington over the summer when she had an internship at our Four Corners Musical Theater and had a great experience with Damn Yankees and The Wizard of Oz. Janie is at the University of Arkansas. She's finishing up her senior year and is in the process of applying to PT school. So had a good luck so far. She's been accepted to one in Texas, and she has four other interviews lined up. So we're super proud of both of them and looking forward to their future. Hoping to have both of them home for Thanksgiving and over Christmas.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. And as well, you should be proud. And John, I've heard a little bit about your kids. Why don't you set us up with that?
We are the proud parents of a boy and a girl. Our oldest, Cole, is married, and I'm going to be a grandfather. We're expecting our first granddaughter in December. Very, very tickled about that. He is matriculating through a commercial aviation license right now, and my daughter-in-law is a neonatal intensive care unit nurse. Very proud of both of them. And our youngest, Olivia, is a second year, soon to be a third year medical student at the Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So just super kids, couldn't be happier and prouder of them. Olivia actually worked here the first summer of COVID, if you recall, Dr. Underwood, and she's very committed to caregiving and aspiring physician, and we're very proud of both of them.
Yeah, you should be. And, you know, if she can come through our COVID experience and still want to go into medicine, you know, she means it. So that's really, really impressive. And I have a grandchild due in December as well. So we'll be celebrating that together. I know a little bit about this already, but what was your first, now this could be before college, what was your first tax-paying job? The first one you actually had to file a W-2 for?
Surprisingly enough, my first W-2 job, being born back east, you're in a multicultural Eastern European environment in Buffalo, New York, and I worked as an apprentice butcher for a gentleman by the name of Frank Mergel, who is a first-generation German immigrant. So I worked in basically a butcher shop called Mergel's Meats as my very first job, and my very first W-2 is an apprentice meat cutter. So went from the dairy right into the farm-to-table kind of continuum and worked there with him for several years until I actually was in college. And then I moved over and did some other stuff. But that was my very first W-2 job.
Wow, I did not know that about you. So Jason, how about you? What was your first real tax-paying job? Mine was making pizzas at a Godfather's Pizza. So
that's pretty good. So similarly, mine was in the food services industry at the glorious Captain's Galley in Galveston, Texas. So I think I was a sophomore in high school and didn't have my driver's license yet. So how I convinced my parents that it was okay for me to ride my bicycle to and from work, sometimes coming home at midnight, initially as a dishwasher, but I rapidly progressed to the fry cook. So I got to dump all of the shrimp and the various other accoutrements into the deep fat fryer, as well as maintain the consistency and cleanliness of that grease. So very entertaining and a great experience over the summer.
So let's jump forward to after you got out of college. What was your first job after graduating from college? And then give us at least a brief transition of how you went from that first role to getting into healthcare. And I know some of us have some quite varied experiences that led from one to the other.
I can't wait to hear what John's story is, so I'll let him go first.
Well, I was an ROTC full ride scholarship recipient, and I went to school in a very, very small college environment, Canisius College. It was a Jesuit school in Buffalo, New York. So I had a job waiting for me immediately upon my graduation, and that was a commissioned officer in the United States Army. So my very, very first job out of school, college that is, was a commissioned officer. I was commissioned as a military intelligence officer. My formal commission was in military intelligence. I went on to serve branch detail, where they need different officers in different combat arms areas. And I was branch detailed for my company grade work from second lieutenant to captain in armored cavalry regiments and cavalry divisions in the United States Army, and got to spend time all over the world doing that. And then went on to military intelligence functions in different places all over the world doing that. So that was my first job out of school. Some of the best and most formative opportunities in my life to develop as a leader and serve. So very proud of what I did there. And it was a great first chance to formatively learn how to lead and be of service to things that are bigger than myself. So I'm very proud of that service and that time that I spent accordingly.
So how did you get from being armor/MI, military intelligence, to certified public accountant working finance in a hospital?
After I left military service, I went out and found work in manufacturing and logistics organizations, both in operations and financial roles, largely in turnaround and greenfield startups in turnarounds for struggling or poorly performing organizations. And as I matriculated through, I worked for the Germans. Deutsche Bahn is the controlling organization that I was working for. And I had all of their logistics and distribution organizations west of the Mississippi, Mexico, and Canada, and promoted to basically what the Germans call a controller. It's a CFO role for 35 or so facilities. I was recruited into the healthcare industry to help Tenet Healthcare build their financial and operational decision support capability for running the hospitals, and ended up in healthcare some 15 or 16 years ago, I think, at this point. And that was my journey into the healthcare environment. So I started out in an operations finance capacity and logistics and manufacturing environments multinationally, and ended up being recruited by an accountant friend over to the healthcare sector. And that's been my journey over the last 25 plus years.
That's brilliant. That's absolutely wonderful. And Jason, how about your transition?
Well, from my standpoint, it really seems that healthcare was ultimately inevitable for me. Recall that I was born in Roswell, and I remember growing up, and I've shared this at some of the town hall meetings, but growing up, I had access to a lot of physicians' offices because I had a litany of allergies and all that, but I was always fascinated and attracted to that environment, just the stuff that was going on there. And then growing up and going to high school in Galveston, that was such a healthcare center for that area, with the University of Texas Medical Ranch being there. So I was going to school with a lot of faculty kids, and just being exposed to that environment, it was just always fascinating to me. When I went off to college, it wasn't really kind of in the foreground of it. I was just kind of going through that and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. For those of you who may have seen the old movie with John Cusack, Say Anything, when he's trying to explain to his girlfriend's father his ambitions in life, I was similar. It's just kind of like, I'm really not sure what I'm after here, other than I wanted it to be meaningful. So during the course of college, I really fell back into some of the programs that were at the University of Texas Medical Branch. Never intended to return home to Galveston. My parents had retired off to the family farm, and I didn't have roots there, but they had one of the few healthcare administration programs as an undergraduate degree that was offered there. And that really hit my interest in science and that component of it, but also recognizing that the clinical care aspect really wasn't up my alley, so to speak. So it really turned out to be an amazing fit. And from that program, there was a requirement to have an administrative practicum or residency that was short term. And I engaged with the new leadership at UTMB. It really just kind of fell into the next 30 odd years of my life. So that unpaid internship turned into a real internship, which turned into a real job, which turned into really the foundation of my healthcare career.
That's awesome. So kind of last question, what gives you purpose in life? I mean, aside from healthcare, and I know that you, John, you, Jason, and I mean, we spend a huge amount of our time and we're really dedicated to the work, but grander even than that, what gives you purpose in life? And we'll start with you, Jason.
Well, at the foundation of why I'm doing all of this, it's really about the family dynamic. And so my chosen vocation has provided us a great life. It's provided us a wonderful opportunity to live in different parts of the country and have a job that is truly meaningful. So from my first job at the University of Texas Medical Branch, all the way through my experience with UNM and Christus and otherwise, the mission of those organizations were something that were broader than just myself. And really working probably in the Catholic healthcare organization, I really came to understand that if you're going to spend that much time at work, working on meaningful things, it really serves my personal interest best that it's aligned with my own values. And so really since Christus, through my opportunity to work with this wonderful organization, to have the mission, to have the dedication to the community, and to have the work and the resources that I have access to being able to apply to the betterment of that community is really meaningful to me. And so the last 18 months that we've been here, to be able to have my kiddos come home and really fit in with this community, love the environment that we're working on, and also really see that value in how my work or our work together, it really supports a broader perspective, has really been meaningful to me.
And John, how about you?
Dr. Underwood, I really think that service and connecting to a mission that is so vitally important to the members of this community is part of a very broad caregiver ecosystem. I play a role in this system, a very important one. I'm a colleague to literally thousands of not just San Juan Regional Medical Center employees, but we have great colleagues that are taking care of patients and providing clinical access and care across our county, multiple counties, multiple states, actually, in fairness. And being able to serve something bigger than me, contribute a little bit, and hopefully make it better than when I found it is really what gives me purpose every day. There are family members here in our service area, sharing earlier about my military experience, that live in conditions that we see in third world countries at times. And without us, I'm not sure what would happen to those people. And I personally believe that when you take care of people, maybe someone we come into contact with, that one individual life, maybe troubled, maybe not well, but if we offer some kindness and make them well, who knows what they can go on to be from a potential perspective. So I always wonder about helping someone who turns around, has a great experience, and then is able to help thousands potentially of people. There may be someone in our service community who's young right now, struggling, needs access to great care, this gets inspired. And, you know, Bob, maybe they find the cure for cancer for our yet to be born grandkids someday. That's what gives me purpose and inspires me to come to work every day. And helping people who need help with humility is an honor. And actually, it's a privilege and what I think we're all called to do in this profession.
Love it. Thanks, both of you, for coming on and sharing some of your personal stories. I think that it's really important for our caregivers to get to know.
Thank you, Dr. Underwood, for helping us coordinate this and really just to kind of talk about not necessarily what we do every day, but the why behind it. And I know that you personally, as well as John, you've been around the block, so to speak. You've been in other organizations and you've had opportunities to be elsewhere other than here. And the mission of this organization and what we do here is important, not only to me and not only to you guys, but our whole team here. And I think it really is the basis of why so many of our caregivers choose to be here. So thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And thank you to our audience for joining us and getting to know John and Jason beyond their titles. Their stories really highlight how much we can learn from each other. Every caregiver has a life story that adds richness and depth to our shared purpose. So that's your challenge this week. Connect with a coworker on a more personal level. Grab a cup of coffee or just have a quick conversation, and you might be surprised by the experiences, perspectives, and passions that shape the person behind the job. Thanks for listening, and keep building those connections.